Some things never heal.
I'm going to crush you like a tick,
growled Leo, snapping out a jab and forcing Juran to parry. Just the sound of blades ringing made him feel better. By the dead, he'd missed the feeling of a sword in his hand.
Like you crushed Stour Nightfall,
Juran jabbed back and steel scraped again.
That's right!
Leo darted forward, almost cried out at a horribly familiar twinge in his wounded thigh. Had to check and pretend it had been a faint, the disappointment almost sharper than the pain. Juran came on, grinning.
So you'll bleed half to death, plainly be the worst fighter, and only win because I'm an arrogant fool?
Antalp, Glarwood and Jin all chuckled, of course. Leo didn't. The more time passed, the less he liked the way his friends told the tale. He preferred the more flattering story he'd read in a printed pamphlet the other day, where the peerless young lion had outfought Stour Nightfall, cracked a couple of jokes, then made him eat dirt in front of his uncle, all over the honour of a beautiful sorceress. In that version, there'd been no mention of his not being able to walk properly ever since. After actual fighting, sparring had always been Leo's favourite thing in the world. He tried to find the eager smile he used to wear when he was doing it, like a cat playing with a mouse. Maybe he wasn't as good with a sword as Stour Nightfall, but he'd always been a damn sight better than Durand. He meant to prove it, however much it hurt.
Ha!
He snapped Durand's blade one way, then the other, with a pair of fierce cuts. That was more like it. He lined up a lunge that would hurt even with a blunted blade, then gasped as his weight went onto his bad leg and it nearly folded under him. It was shamefully easy for Juran to step around his feeble thrust and slash at his exposed side. Leo twisted to parry, all off balance, gave a girlish scream as pain stabbed through his thigh, then his knee buckled and he went sprawling on the rush matting, clutching at his leg.
Bloody hell! You all right?
No!
Snarled Leo, slapping Juran's hand away.
The leg's fucking worse than ever!
He was sick of pain. He was sick of sympathy. He was sick of being angry. He was sick of saying sorry for being angry. Then he saw the hurt on Juran's face and struggled to get a grip on himself.
I'm sorry. Always thought I could laugh off pain. But it's all the time. I wake up with it, I go to sleep with it. Getting across a room is a struggle. Leaving something upstairs is a bloody disaster.
Let me help.
Glarwood reached for him like a father for a crying toddler.
Get your paws off me, snapped Leo. I'm not a bloody cripple.
Jin and Antalp exchanged a worried glance. Nothing says I'm crippled louder than the furious insistence that you're not, after all. Leo caught Glarwood's big hand before he took it away and dragged himself up, hopping on his good leg. He stood a moment, breathing hard, then gritted his teeth and accepted the inevitable.
Bring me the cane,
he snapped at Durand.
You know what'd make you feel better.
Glarwood gave Leo's shoulders a crushing squeeze, which made him feel a good deal worse.
Getting back in the saddle. That's where you belong.
Antalp shook a fist.
Leading the men.
You need a battle to lead them into, grumbled Leo. Or should I lead them round and round the Lord Governor's residence?
There's always fighting in Starrickland, said Glarwood. Rebels are giving Lord Governor Skald a hell of a time lately. Dare say he'd be glad of the help.
And people hate the Styrians more than ever, said Antalp. I hear Westport's a real powder keg. One spark and poof.
He grinned as he mimed an explosion.
And the women over there.
He grinned wider as he mimed a bigger one. Whitewater Jin combed worriedly at his ever-thickening beard.
Can't see a fancy fight in the Serpent of Tarlins. She beat King Jazal 3 times, and the bitch is stronger than ever.
Hardly took Stolichus himself to beat King Jazal, snapped Leo.
But the man had a point. The history of reckless charges into Styria was not good. Glarwood pushed out his bottom lip.
If it's a weak enemy you're after, I hear the Gurkish are obliging. The empire's broken into splinters, no profit. Priests and princes and chiefs and governors all fighting each other for control.
Like the North in the bad old days, said Jin.
The dogman's stirring stories had all happened in the North in the bad old days. That was when names like Bethod and Black Dow and the Bloody Nine were made. Names to stir the blood.
Is that so?
Muttered Leo, clenching his fists. Antalp's brows were very high.
The Ionians got every claim on Dagoska.
Leo raised his to match.
That city should be ours.
The four of them glanced at each other, teetering between joking and serious.
Can't deny the weather's good down there.
Jin patted Leo's face with one big paw.
Get some colour back in those cheeks.
Leo shoved the Northman's hand away, but the idea had hold of him. Just the thought of being back on campaign was making his leg hurt less. Reclaiming Dagoska for the Union? Imagine the pamphlets they'd print of that story. They'd have to give him another triumph, and with a better reward than some gaudy sword this time around.
Durin, how would we get soldiers down there, do you think?
He was somewhat put out to find his oldest friend staring at him, horrified.
Tell me you're joking. What?
Durin glared at the others, and like mischievous schoolboys caught out by the headmaster, one by one they were forced into sheepish submission.
He hasn't even healed from the last duel to the death, and you're falling over yourselves to talk him into another.
You sound like my bloody mother, snapped Leo.
Someone has to. It was bad enough when you were just the young lion. You're the Lord Governor of Angland now. You have a province full of people counting on you. You can't go charging off to any fight that'll have you because you're fucking bored.
Leo stood a moment, teeth bared, ready to fight. Then he sagged. He couldn't stay angry with Durand for longer than a breath or two.
You're right, you bastard.
He's always right, said Glarwood sadly.
Here's the clever one,
said Antalp, flicking back his dark forelock.
Sanity prevails.
Durin slapped the cane into Leo's hand and strode off, shaking his head.
Shame, though, muttered Jin.
Aye, said Leo. Shame.
We have received a letter from His Majesty.
From his closed council, you mean? Grumbled Lord Mustard.
Or from old Sticks and his cronies, grumbled Lord Clencher.
They were quite the pair of old grumblers, those two. They could have won grumbling contests, which was pretty much what these meetings came down to. Leo's mother cleared her throat.
They ask us to raise an extra 100,000 marks in taxes.
Again?
Leo's voice went shrill with dismay, while the worthies around the table shook their grey heads. The ones who weren't entirely bald, at least. They shook bald heads.
They say, since we have peace in the north, revenues should rise, and Angland will not need so large an army.
We have peace because we have an army.
Leo tried to leap up, winced at a stab through his leg, and had to sink back, clenching his teeth, clenching his fists, clenching everything.
What about the cost of the war? Are they paying that at least?
Leo's mother cleared her throat again.
They do not mention it.
Are we the king's subjects or his bloody livestock? Snapped Mustard. This is unacceptable. Disgraceful. Growled Clencher. Outrageous!
What the shit?
Leo smashed at the table with a fist and made the papers and most of the old men jump.
The bloody arrogance of the bastards! In war, all they sent were good wishes, and in peace, all they send are demands. I swear they'd ask for my fruits in a bag if they thought they could get a good price for the damn things.
My lords,
Leo's mother turned smiling to the room.
Do you suppose you could give us the chamber for a moment?
With tired voices and tired legs, the old lords of Angland shuffled to the door. They could hardly have looked more tired than Leo felt. As Lord Governor,
he was buried in responsibilities. If he didn't spend 4 hours a day at his desk, he'd drown in paperwork. He hardly knew how his mother had done it. No small part of him wished she was still doing it.
"We support you, Lord Brock."
Mustard's moustaches vibrated with loyalty as he paused in the doorway.
"We support you, whatever."
Clencher's jowls trembled as he nodded agreement.
"Damn those bastards on the closed council!"
And he pulled the doors shut. The gloomy room was silent for a moment as Leo's anger drained away and he worked up the courage to look at his mother. To see that slightly disappointed, slightly exasperated, slightly resigned look she'd been perfecting ever since he could remember. "Another bloody lecture?"
"Just an entreaty, Leo."
She took his hand, squeezed it in hers. "I share your annoyance, really I do. But you're Lord Governor now, you have to be patient."
"How can I?"
He couldn't bear to sit a moment longer. He twisted his hand free and struggled up, half-hopped to the narrow windows and wrestled one open, desperate to feel fresh air on his face. He looked out across the rain-shiny roofs of Ostenholm towards the grey sea, rubbing at his sore leg.
"Are you sure I'm cut out for this, managing petty complaints? I'm happier at war than at peace."
"Your father was just the same. But being Lord Governor is about managing the peace. The closed council know Nightfall respects you."
"The great wolf only respects the boot across his neck. To disarmers? How can they be so blind? It's not half a year since we were fighting for our lives without a shred of help from those bastards."
"I know. But if you're furious whenever the closed council does something infuriating, you'll be furious all the time. Rare anger can be inspiring. Frequent anger becomes contemptible." Leo took a breath, forced his shoulders down. By the dead, he was always angry these days.
"You're right. I know you're right."
The wind was chill outside. He dragged the window closed, gripped his thigh, and took a few hobbling steps back to his chair, his prison, and dropped down into it.
"Perhaps you should stop training," she said softly. "Rest the leg." "I did rest it, and it hurt more. So I trained, and it got worse. So I rested it again, and that didn't help. Nothing bloody helps. I'm trapped by the fucking thing."
"A change of scene might do you good. We've been invited to Lord Isha's wedding. A trip to Aduo would present many opportunities."
"To kiss the king's arse?"
"To make your case to him. You said he was a reasonable man." Leo scowled. He hated when his mother talked sense. It made it damn difficult to fight with her without talking nonsense himself. She and Durand had him in a relentless bloody pincer movement of rationality.
"I suppose so," he grumbled.
"Then reason with him. Build some friendships on the open council. Make some allies among the closed. Use their rivalries to your advantage. You can be charming, Leo, when you want to be. Charm them." He couldn't help smiling.
"Could you just for once be wrong, Mother?"
"I've tried it a couple of times. It really didn't suit me."
"By the dead, it stinks," said Leo,
face crushed up with pain and disgust as the bandages peeled sticky from his thigh.
"An odour is entirely natural, Your Grace."
The surgeon nudged his eye lenses back up his nose with his wrist. You'd have thought a man who had to wear lenses but use his hands would at least find a pair that weren't constantly sliding down his nose, but in this, as in so much else, it seemed Leo would be disappointed.
"Some corruption has found its way into the wound."
"Corruption? How?"
"Some injuries simply become corrupt."
"Like everything bloody else,"
hissed Leo, as the man probed at the wound with his thumbs and made it weep a thick yellow tear. It looked like a red eye, lids stubbornly pressed shut in a refusal to see the truth.
"I've seen men make complete recoveries from the most terrible injuries," mused the surgeon, as if they were discussing a scientific curiosity rather than Leo's life.
but I've seen men die from a thorn prick. Very reassuring. How long ago was it inflicted?
5 months, grunted Leo through gritted teeth.
No, six. Ah! And from a sword?
The same time and the same sword as these others.
Leo waved at the scar on his face, faded to a pale line. The one on his side, the one on his shoulder.
But they all healed. This one seems to be getting worse.
We'll have to drain it. That should ease the pain.
Whatever you have to do,
whispered Leo, wiping the tears from his cheek on the back of his arm.
You sure you wouldn't like husk for the...
No!
Leo remembered his father at the end, raving and drooling.
No, I need to stay sharp.
Though what for? So he could watch his friends train from a chair, sit through endless meetings about tax. He should take husk for the pain of that rubbish. The surgeon offered a strip of leather to bite on.
You might want to look away, Your Grace.
I think I will.
Flashing steel used to delight him. Now the glint of the sun on the tiny blade was making him feel faint. He was the young lion, no man braver. Riding into a line of spears had been nothing. Now, even the idea of moving the leg, touching the leg, using the leg, made him cringe. It was his first thought before he did anything. How much would it hurt? You would have thought the more pain you suffered, the more you'd get used to it. But it was the other way around. Hour after hour, day after day, it wore down your patience until everything was unbearable. So rather than suffer in heroic silence, he trembled and whimpered his way through it, sobbing at every touch of the blade, at even the expectation of a touch. When it was over, he peeled the wad of leather from his teeth, strings of spit hanging off it.
I swear it hurts more than when I took the wound in the first place.
Pain dulls in the excitement of combat.
The surgeon wiped Leo's thigh, then wrinkled his nose at the cloth.
The chronic is, in the end, far harder to stand than the acute.
Leo lay back, limp as a wrung-out rag.
When will it heal?
Perhaps weeks, perhaps months.
Months?
He made a fist as though he might punch his own leg, but quickly thought better of it.
But you should be aware, the surgeon frowned as he dried his hands, some things never heal.
It could be like this forever.
It is a possibility.
Leo turned his head away towards the window, watched the grey rooftops and the grey sea through the distorting little rain-flecked panes. Would he be a cripple? Like that bastard Glockter, imprisoned behind his desk, burrowing among his papers like a maggot in filth. Tears made his sight swim. He wished Ricca was with him. She would have turned it into a joke, played the fool, made him feel good. It was a long time since he'd felt good.
All done for now.
And the surgeon began to wind a fresh bandage around Leo's thigh, hiding that puckered red eye. He dreamed of leading armies and winning great victories, just like in the stories. He dreamed of fighting in the circle and being reckoned a great warrior, just like in the songs. He dreamed of stepping from his mother's shadow into the sunlight of renown and being cheered as Lord Governor of Angland. He'd done it all, and look where it had left him. That's the trouble with songs. They tend to stop before it all turns to shit.